What's up, movie friends? Welcome back to Letterboxd Recap, where we go through the movies we've been watching this past week while also rating the Letterboxd top 4 of 5 of you listeners. Anthony here alongside Natalie.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Nat? Nat, a.k.a. James's replacement. Welcome to Raiders of the Lost podcast. I ended up watching 8 movies this week, and I finished Attack on Titan.
Woo!
James, Jacob, and I are making a huge Attack on Titan episode that comes out on Monday, so stay tuned for that. How many movies did you watch this week?
I watched 8 things.
8 things?
Yeah. A couple of them are short films, and then one is a show.
Oh, we love short films.
Yeah.
Short films are awesome. I feel like not enough people watch short films.
Well,
it's hard for them to get attention.
Yeah. I mean, I love short films, but it's hard to watch short films that are made
not
to
good.
Be like a proof of concept and not as a standalone short.
Yeah.
And that's where I think they fall short.
There's a few different kinds of short films. There's the concept, then there's the trailer short film, which is just like people will make a trailer.
Yeah, I actually enjoy those.
Yeah, and then also there's just like the narrative short film, which is what I did last year. I'm thinking about making a trailer one this year, actually.
You should.
I have a really great idea, and I can't afford making a whole movie out of it, making even a short film out of it, but I could make a pretty cool sizzle reel trailer to pitch a concept.
What if you do like a short film, like 5 minutes maximum?
A little short.
A little short film. Not
well,
a
I have a bunch
short.
Of ideas, and it's like I can't compact it into like a story at all. It would just have to be, it has to be like a sizzle reel, the way I have it in my mind.
I'll figure
something out.
I mean, short films are difficult because you want to get so much in a short amount of time, but it's a skill.
Anyways, let's get into what we watched. So the first movie I watched this week was an old Jack Nicholson movie from 1973 called The Last Detail. This is actually awesome. I've been meaning to watch it for a while. It was on Criterion Channel. I gave it a 4-star rating. This is about 2 members of the Navy. Jack plays one of them who are, they're given duties to transport another Navy man who's been arrested for theft. And they're supposed to transport him across the country to a Marine prison where he's going to serve 7 years in prison, a military prison. And it's about them. And the guy is just a young guy, 19-year-old kid who got caught stealing. And instead of a slap on the wrist, they're punishing him really harshly. And so the two men who are taking him on this journey, they began bonding with him and feeling so bad for him because of the cards he was dealt of. You know, he's just a kid. And at first they didn't like him, but then they're like, oh my God, can we do anything to help him? And then it's like, how about we just give him a couple of days of fun on our trip before he spends the next 7 years in hell? And it's really touching movie. It's a really cool military movie. I've never seen one quite like it. And also it showcases the difficulties of being stuck in the confines of an institution like the military, where you really not even the men involved in the military have freedom. And they think they do. They have sometimes illusions of freedom, but they are still beholden to the rules and regulations and their commanding officers. And there's really no way out for a lot of people. And so
you're
I thought it was really
pawn.
Cool. It was really great.
You're really just a pawn when you're like in the military.
Yeah.
It sounds like the military version of Holes.
it wasn't that different from Holes. It wasn't that different. Shia LaBeouf was also in it.
Yeah, oddly enough.
But I recommend anyone checking it out. It's just another just incredible performance from Nicholson, who's just easily one of the greatest of all time. It's not even close. All right, what's your movie that you got? Or your thing?
Well, I'll start with the movies. I watched American Fiction. Loved it.
Great, right?
Yes, it's a perfect comedy. It had a goal, and it did what it needed to do, and I had a lot of fun.
How about that first scene? So funny.
That was a week ago, what was it?
It was the student who was the white girl who was offended for the N-word.
Oh my God, yes.
He's like, I got over it.
Yeah, literally. I find that to be, you know, it's a tricky subject, but like, yeah.
I think it was great that he even had the balls to talk about it and even 100%. Put it in his film, you know?
100%. It's a, what do you call it?
It's what's great about the film is that it's made by a black storyteller, and he's showing how ridiculous the media and people are, especially people who aren't black.
Yes.
And how they treat black people and how they treat black stories and how they'll be offended for black people when even black people aren't offended.
100%.
It was like so spot on. and so searing with its comedy, and it's like, it wasn't attacking, but it was showcasing how ridiculous people can be.
Yeah, and to a really related to when he said, you know, I'm a black author, why isn't my story in like the black author section? Or no, why is it in the mystery section or whatever it was, but it's in the black author section or something like that. Yeah, my struggle, you know, being in the film industry and as an actor, I see, you know, Asian stories, they're always like pandering to Asian communities. Like, we can't just be regular people. It has to be about our Asianness and our culture, but we can't just literally exist. You know what I mean?
I've seen recently a couple of trailers for Asian led TV shows. Not the Ali Wong one.
Beef?
Yeah, not that one, but there's two recent ones, and martial arts is like the main theme in both of them. Is that something that...
Well, I mean, I appreciate that, and I think it's, you know, kick-ass because, you know, part of Asian film, but too, as an Asian American, it seems almost like every Asian story has to be like an Asian story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not just a story about a person
who lives because we don't have like white people having white stories, whatever that means, you know?
Is that shopping at Bed Bath & Beyond?
Exactly. What's the other one? Bath & Body Works.
Bath & Body Works.
All the baths.
Yankee Candle.
Yankee Candle. Are they doing okay? Did they close?
They're still up. I saw them. There's a store at the mall here. There's still a Yankee Candle store at our mall. Yeah, my gym's at a mall. Gold? And a bunch of the theaters I go to are at malls.
Was it Gold's Gym?
No, I go to Fitness 19.
What the fuck is Fitness 19?
It's just a random chain. It's great, though. Okay, it's so great.
But yeah, anyway, American Fiction, I gave it 4 stars.
So funny and so just really, hilarious. Really smart. And it was really surprising, and it was laugh out loud. It was really laugh out loud funny. Mm-hmm. It went a little long, especially in the middle part of the film, but it finished strong. And I think it was just a really great commentary on our culture.
Yeah, I love that they didn't end it on like a happy ending.
Exactly. You know, 100%. All right, let's get into the Letterboxd top 4 of 5 of our amazing listeners. First up, we have George Osborne, big fan of the show, on Letterboxd, future Oscar winner, actor, 20 years old.
Sick.
George has Interstellar at number 1.
Nice.
12 Angry Men, which is an amazing film. I'm happy to see that here. Then The Breakfast Club.
Amazing.
Classic John Hughes. And a film from 2023, The Holdovers, which you and I both loved. Everybody loves. I don't know anybody who doesn't. I don't know anyone who watched The Holdovers and didn't absolutely adore it.
I'm not saying that there are any wrong opinions, but if you don't like it, you're wrong.
Like, how could you not like The Holdovers? How could you not like it? My God. And then recently, George has watched Whiplash, 5 stars. Paddington 2, 4 stars.
Cute.
Fellowship, 5 stars. And Two Towers, 4.5 stars.
Two Towers.
What a great marathon. Next up, we have... From our, 1 second.
God dang it, one job.
For real. All right, we got Nick from Detroit, Michigan. All the way in Detroit. We got The Big Lebowski.
Nice.
Memories of Murder. Bong Joon-ho's masterful crime film. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. My favorite. Lord of the Rings film. Which one's yours?
The one where they go on that adventure and they're like walking.
I'm guessing you've seen them all.
I've seen them in the background when I go to bed. Sorry, guys. I used to study to it in the background, but literally never watched it.
You know what's great to work to is on YouTube, there's a bunch of channels that make ambiance sounds, like soundscapes, and there's a bunch of great Lord of the Rings 3-hour ambiances of like different facets, different themes of the films. They're so good. Like, there's a Lothlorien one. It's my favorite to listen to. It's 3 hours, and it's all the themes in the elven lands.
Mm.
It's really just beautiful, very relaxing, and helps you focus. Helps me focus in particular. Recently, Nick has watched Porco Rosso, the Ghibli film. Ninja Turtles, the animated one that came out this year. Chungking Express, amazing movie. And then Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
I've never seen Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie. I remember
loved Yu-Gi-Oh!
I remember James and I refused to watch Yu-Gi-Oh! because we thought it was a ripoff of Pokemon.
Oh my God.
We were like purists. We were like, fuck it. It's trying to take away the thunder from Pokemon.
Terrible. Totally different, man.
Was it totally different?
I think so.
Was it like...
It was like it's like watching Disney Channel versus like Cartoon Network.
Or like Nickelodeon.
I would say Cartoon Network because it felt darker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I
love Maybe I would have liked it more, actually, now that I think of that. Mm-hmm. I think I was such a... I was such a Pokemon fanatic that I couldn't accept something that borrowed from it.
Mm. Well, they had sick ass hair, so you should.
Yeah, the hair is like even more extreme than Dragon Ball Z.
It's amazing. The structure, it goes hard.
Oh my God. All right, next up we have Storm Load. Storm, all the way from Norway.
Norway.
I don't give half stars. I like that. It's in their bio.
Wow.
I like
I
that.
I sure do.
I like that. Half stars are tricky. We have another 12 Angry Men.
Nice.
Twice today.
What the heck?
Then Harakiri, which I also have in my Letterboxd top four.
Really?
Yeah. Harakiri. Have you seen it?
No.
It's the greatest Japanese samurai film ever made.
Wow.
It's the best.
It's on Criterion, you think?
Right now, it's not on Criterion, but I'm sure you can find... I think it's on Max.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah, Warner Brothers tends to have the licensing rights usually of that film. I'm pretty sure it's on Max. And then Shutter Island, great Scorsese film.
Fantastic.
And I like that for being your favorite Scorsese movie. Then Oslo 31, which I haven't seen. I'm going to have to check that out. And then recently Storm has watched Persona, the Ingmar Bergman film. Oslo 31, Talk to Me, and the Black Mirror episode, Tales of the Black Mirrors. I don't remember that one.
I didn't know we could rate episodes.
Certain shows are on Letterboxd.
Oh, nice.
So anything that's considered a miniseries or an anthology series is on Letterboxd. Although, very soon, they're implementing all television on it, which I don't like. What do you think about
all
that?
All television where you can rate as a whole or per episode?
I'm sure it'll be... Actually, so I'm guessing it'll be like it is now where if it's a miniseries or an anthology, you can rate independent episodes.
Mm.
But if it's a whole series, I'm guessing you can rate just the series. But I don't think I'm not going to like having TV on Letterboxd because Letterboxd is a film lover's app. Hmm. And then it's going to turn into just a media lover's app.
That's a good point.
It has the film niche thing going for it. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
I think that putting TV on Letterboxd is going to ruin it, but take away how much I like it. When I go on Letterboxd, it's going to be probably more TV than in movies in the next 6 months.
I personally wouldn't mind having TV on there.
The reason for it is late last year, Letterboxd sold to a corporation.
Sellouts.
So, hey, I mean, the founder made his money, so let him make his money, you know?
Yeah, I would do that too.
Yeah, he made a great app, and then he's like, let's sell. And a company bought it for, I think it was priced at a couple hundred million.
Oh my God. No, you're worth a couple million.
There's no ads on it. There's no money generated out of it really, except for just
ads,
subscriptions.
No?
Are there ads?
Yeah, I get ads.
Oh, I guess because I'm a patron.
I am not a patron.
So I think that's the reason why they're gearing towards TV because they're now run by a corporation.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So the corporation's like, let's monetize this as much as we can.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't mind just having shows on there, but to your point about it being like a media thing, that would make me nervous.
I mean, it's billed as a film lover's app.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
That takes away from that entire idea of Letterboxd, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I understand why they're doing it. It's a business now, but I do not like the idea that it's going to be TV all over it.
Yeah.
Allura. All right, moving on to Paul Martin Max. Paul Max on Letterboxd. We have... Oh my God, another 12 Angry Men.
What the hell?
This is wild.
Oh
man.
Watch it now.
Oh, it's really one of the best movies ever made by Sidney Lumet, one of the greatest directors in American history. Just phenomenal director, and it's a perfect movie. Then we have Back to the Future, nice. Another perfect movie, one of my favorite adventure films of all time. Then Indiana Jones. Oh, I can't tell from the screenshot which one it is because he has this badass poster. I'm guessing it's Last Crusade because it looks like he's riding away from a tank on a horse. So that's got to be Last Crusade.
What a sentence.
Only in indie. And then Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
And then recently, Paul has watched The Naked Gun 2.5, which is a great Leslie Nielsen comedy. Oppenheimer, Marathon Man, which is an awesome Dustin Hoffman movie. Very, very cool movie. And then Serial Bad Weddings. I've never seen that one, so I'll have to add it to my watch list. Finally, our final Letterboxd top four is Robert John Leet. Oh my God, I'm loving this already. Good Will Hunting.
Oh,
warms my heart. Good Will Hunting. One of my favorite movies. Inception. Another one of my favorite movies. Jurassic Park, another one of my favorite movies. God. Then American Psycho, another one of my favorite movies.
I think this is you.
I swear, I'm not Robert John Leet. These are actually, every Letterboxd top four is actually me.
Yeah. Different versions of you.
I mean, I could totally see myself having this top four. Oh my God. All right, that's it for our Letterboxd top four. Thanks to everybody for sending those in. Now, if you would like to have us read off your top four on the show, all you gotta do is send a screenshot to us in our DMs. Now, before we get into the rest of our movie watches, I want to let everybody know that James and I are performing a live show in Boston in April 18th. You can get tickets for the live show at our website, raidersoflostpodcast.com. we also have links in our bio, links on Twitter, and then there's a highlight reel on our Instagram page if you want to get tickets through the links there. So April 18th, a live show in Boston.
Are you selling merch?
Oh, I didn't think to do that. Oh, maybe we should. God. I'm so bad at I'm terrible at being
a podcaster. We gotta sell some merch, like this hat.
That's a good hat.
A sweatshirt or something, you know?
I'll make a live show. We can make a live show merch.
Yeah, yes.
That'd be fun. But I can't wait to go to Boston, and a bunch of our family and friends will be there, so it'll be a great show.
It's my dream to go to Boston.
You've never been?
Wow. Never been.
It's a great city. Great city.
That's what I hear.
But that's a good time to go before disease. It gets too hot. You're going to get Lyme disease? From what? Just don't go hiking in Vermont.
All right.
Wear socks. Wear high socks.
That's just what I hear.
Oh, my God. But it's going to be a great show, and we're really looking forward to it. All right. So let's get back into our watches. Like I mentioned earlier, I have a big Attack on Titan episode coming out on Monday, but I did watch the two finale films. They're basically mini movies, and they are in Letterboxd that you can rate them. So I rated them both 5 stars. Special number one, I gave 5 stars, and I wrote incredible. And special two, I said, oh my God, a satisfying and deeply resonant finale to the remarkable series. Overall, the show was a staggering achievement of storytelling and world building. 5 stars, 10 out of 10, absolutely incredible. I can't wait to have everybody check out our episode. It's 3 hours. It's a 3-hour episode on Attack on Titan on Monday. Jacob and I went in depth on it, and it was a fun chat with him. So I can't wait for everyone to check it out. And if you ever watched Attack on Titan and you're looking to get into a new TV show, I couldn't recommend it enough. It's really fantastic. I watched it all in 3 weeks because I'm a maniac.
Yeah.
I'm an absolute beast. Beast mode.
I haven't seen this man actually in 2 months. We've been doing this remotely. He's been held up in his
I'm actually home. Watching Attack on Titan right now.
Right now in the background. Psycho.
Just a third watch through, you know. All right, what's your next watched?
I watched Anatomy of a Fall.
Yes! What'd you think?
Fucking loved it. 5 stars. I gave it 5 stars.
So good.
So good. The acting, I was getting oh my God, Tar vibes in terms of like how good it was.
So I think we talked about it last week where I said she should win the Oscar. Do you agree with me now? Yeah.
Justine?
Yeah. No. Sandra Hüller. For lead actress.
Yeah. Wait. Sorry. Who's up for?
Lily Gladstone's the favorite.
I think it's one of those. Like, it's Lily Gladstone's year, because that would be, like, monumental and historical, I absolutely love that for her.
But objectively, what's the better performance?
Sandra or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
It really is
that
good.
She did a phenomenal job. And the directing, I thought it was a perfect movie. And it reminded me of the show The Undoing with Nicole Kidman and what's-his-face?
Undoing?
You have to watch The Undoing.
Is it recent?
No, it's like maybe 3 years ago or something.
What else has the guy been in?
No, it's a big actor. I just blocked out his name.
I saw Nicole Kidman has a new TV show coming out called The Expat.
Expat.
It looks interesting.
A lot of people do. Okay.
But I loved Anatomy of a Fall. And
Oh, Hugh Grant. Yeah.
Love him. Okay. So I'm sure you saw, we talked about it last week. There was so much blowback about Greta Gerwig not getting nominated for Best Director, but I felt like it took away all the attention from Justine Treat in her actual nomination. And yes. I was like, I made a tweet and I got a little hate for it, but I got mostly a positive responses because I was just like, how about we celebrate the woman who did get nominated because we're taking away her moment by complaining about Greta not getting nominated.
100%.
And I was like, no, I'm not seeing anybody talk about Justine Treat. Instead, everybody's focusing on Greta.
Because the fandom for Barbie is so large that like anything they say will be so loud. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't see the same crowd going to watch Anatomy of a Fall. They're just watching Barbie or, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know for sure a lot of people that are just like head over, head up, head
up there. No.
A lot of people that are being extremely vocal haven't seen Anatomy of a Fall.
Yeah. I think it's a perfect movie. The directing was so good.
Oh, I got to send you the screenplay that she wrote. She actually included the visual representations of the court case, of the dioramas of the house.
Oh, wow.
Of like all the like the court evidence that they, like the 3D models.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She actually put those into the screenplay.
Oh, wow.
I'll show it to you later. It's super cool.
Yeah. I mean, I want to keep talking about this for a little bit because the movie's so good. But yeah, I mean, again, there are problems with the Academy and how they nominate women historically. But I think we have two great women who were nominated, and I think we should be talking about them.
And she got a screenplay nomination, too.
Yeah.
She's probably going to win original screenplay.
I hope she does, because I don't think she'll win Best Picture or Director, because I think she's up against some pretty...
She's up against a decade-defying movie with Oppenheimer. Yeah, it really is. It's like... Mm-hmm. But it's still, it's like... If Anatomy of a Fall came out last year, I think it would have won.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Over everything.
If Tar didn't win, I don't think this would have won.
Actually, you're probably right. Well, yeah. If Anatomy of a Fall came out 2 years ago, it would have won. It certainly would have won in 2020 over Nomadland.
Nomadland. I didn't even watch Nomadland.
It's good, but I mean, it's probably one of the weakest Oscar winners of all time.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, but like...
Yeah, I mean, it looked fine. I wasn't
a good movie. It's good, but...
But yeah, everyone's acting was great. Even the dog.
Snoop.
Snoop did a fantastic job. I don't know how he won an award. Played dead like that.
He won Cannes gave him best dog award at the Cannes Film Festival. So that scene, how insane was that scene? I remember.
How the fuck did they get him to do that?
I remember watching that scene, and it's all one take. And if anyone
so many long takes, I loved it.
If anyone hasn't seen the film, the dog in the film, he eats a lot of aspirin, so then he has basically like he goes comatose. And then he vomits and he stands up awake. And it's all done in one shot. So the first half of that shot, I'm like, wow, this is a really realistic looking puppet.
No, it's
and
dog,
then he
dude.
And then he stood up and I was like, holy fuck, it's a dog.
It's the dog.
There is no
acting.
Puppet. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And like even when he was drinking the water, you know, I was like,
he looks so stressed.
Hilarious.
He was like, I need this water.
Such a good dog. And the kid reminds me of Haley Joel Osment back in the day.
Yeah, with that just like remarkable performance. He's so heartbreaking. His monologue in the courtroom near the end of the film was really, I think, so important for the movie to completely work. And he hit me like I was tearing up during his monologue. He was so good.
Yeah,
it's amazing when you can see like a little kid be able to do that. It's such a rarity to have that talent.
For sure.
Man, I'm so glad you liked it.
I loved it. And also, I didn't know that French court ran like that. They just be talking over each other. They wear like silly little garments. They can just...
They're like not taking turns?
No, they're just fucking talking willy-nilly. And I'm like, not in America.
It's like, is this like a conversation?
You get thrown out.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's like,
it was very interesting.
It is interesting to see how systems like that can vary so differently.
Yeah.
From culture to culture.
Yeah. Because a lot of things that, you know, the one... If it's not the defendant, it's the, what do you call it?
Prosecuting
lawyer. A lot of his questions were like leading and like not really appropriate, or I don't know. I don't think it would have held up in a U.S. court, but
he was a great antagonist.
Yes, because he annoyed the fuck out of me.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, he really made the courtroom scenes shine. Mm-hmm. Have you seen all the film girl Twitter stuff about the hot lawyer?
The hot lawyer.
So the lawyer, her lawyer.
Oh, the defendant's lawyer.
Yeah.
Oh, he is hot.
Apparently, like, he's become like the thing. It's like him and Cillian Murphy right now on film girl Twitter. And people were making like supercut edits of him and like hot lawyers, what people call him. It's fucking ridiculous.
Oh, I love edits. That's amazing.
So random. It's so random, but it's all over film girl Twitter. During the film, I was like, he looks like a.
I thought he looked like a squirrel when they were like a grown
boy. He looked like a boy with gray hair. I wouldn't say he was hot, but like.
I think he's hot. You can't predict these things. He looks endearing. And he's like
trying to do the right thing.
He's soft and helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a lot of great qualities.
Yeah.
But man, you gotta look up.
Oh my god.
You gotta look
I'm
it
excited.
Up. Oh my god. Oh, you don't use Twitter, that's why you haven't seen it.
No, I deleted my account.
So Film Girl Twitter, it's been Cillian Murphy and Hot Lawyer from Anatomy of a Fall.
Let's go.
For the last month.
I support that.
It's fantastic. All right. My next watch was Alfred Hitchcock film. Sick. Starring Paul Newman, one of my favorite actors of all time. As well as Julie Andrews.
I love Julie Andrews.
She's really good in this film. So was Paul Newman. So Newman plays a physicist. I've just been in a physicist mood after mm-hmm. Oppenheimer. Yeah, he plays a physicist
so
who actually defects from America to go help the Soviets build a nuclear weapon. This is after World War II, so he's working with the Soviets to build a bigger bomb.
Oh, fuck.
And Julie Andrews plays his girlfriend, and she follows him there, not knowing what he's doing. And she's like so confused, like, why are you helping the Soviets? This makes no sense. I don't want to spoil what happens or give away any details, but it's really, really well done. Visually striking. Some of the best cinematography in a Hitchcock film that I've seen. It's just not that strong. It's not that tight of a script. It's about 15 minutes too long. But there are some really impressive visual sequences. So do you like Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yeah.
Remember there's a sequence with Jeff Goldblum, and he's trying to evade Willem Dafoe's character, and he chases him to a museum, and then he like catches him in the back and cuts off his fingers with the door and kills him. Mm. So it's like a 5-minute sequence of that film. And I knew that Wes Anderson, and he said he literally took the entire sequence that Hitchcock made in this movie and basically duplicated it for Grand Budapest as like a homage to it. And I always thought that sequence was so cool. And I was like, I'd never seen that movie, that Hitchcock film.
Yeah.
This is the film. And so there's a 5-minute sequence where Paul Newman's being chased by this undercover agent in a leather jacket. And it's very, pretty much the same thing shot for shot as the Grand Budapest Hotel sequence. Because Wes Anderson lifted it as homage. And it was so cool and interesting to see the original version of that sequence. And it's so visually stunning. Just perfect cinematography and editing. No action, no sound effects. No, I mean, no music. It's just literally footsteps.
I love that
edits.
About Hitchcock films. That there's, it's pretty silent.
It's just like he builds that suspense and that tension because music will inform things, but sometimes music's taking too much. It's on the
foreground and it feeds you.
Yeah, it's being used too much and it's like kind of just being like all over, like forcing the audience to feel something.
Yes.
Instead of just watching the scene and the scene's making people feel something as opposed to the music telling them how to feel. And that sequence is like an example of that. And I was like, I can see why Wes wanted to do that because it's an incredibly filmed sequence. Unbelievable. I gave it 4 stars. It's still a very good movie.
Nice. That's right. What it like made me fall in love with, you know, like 30s, 40s, 50s era movies is that there's no score really because it makes you think about it and feel it.
There's a lot of movies that don't have music at all. But they're great movies.
Those. Yeah, not that I don't love score, but again, to your point, I think it's being overused.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's being overused in horror movies nowadays.
Yes.
Where it's what really, sometimes I get to say, it's the music that makes people get scared.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not even the scenes or the movie. It's just the music is, it's just, we react to it in certain ways. And it's like, they're just kind of like cheating a little bit.
There's no tension building besides the music. Being, you know, very tense.
Yeah, I agree. All right, what do you got next?
I got Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire!
My Dev Patel girlies, where you at?
He had a glow up after this.
Yeah. How old was he in that? Because he looked like a child. He was
I think
the
he was
only,
18.
Wow.
I think he was 18 in Slumdog because he had done Skins in the UK as a teenager. And then Slumdog was this big worldwide breakout.
Yeah, because everyone, you know, when they grow up as they age, he's the only one who looks still like a child.
He needs that facial hair.
Yes, he does.
Because even if he's clean shaven, still he has the very boyish face. But he looks great with the beard he has.
I love that guy.
He's so talented. Yeah. And he's great in this movie.
I thought I watched it when I was younger, but I don't think I did. I think I saw a few shots and I don't really understand what it was. Mm-hmm. But I love it. I think I gave it 4.5 stars.
It won Best Picture.
Wow.
It won Best Picture and then Best Director for Danny Boyle.
Good job, Danny.
So Danny, who did 28 Days Later and Trainspotting, he made Slumdog Millionaire.
Wow.
At first, I liked the movie when it came out, but I was mad because it was the year The Dark Knight came out. And so The Dark Knight didn't get any nominations for anything except for, I think it got cinematography for Wally Pfister.
Okay.
And maybe stunts or something.
Yeah.
But it got no love for anyone. That's Heath Ledger, obviously. But Nolan got no love and didn't get Best Picture nom, even though everybody knew it was like the best movie that had come out by far. And so I was pissed that Slumdog won. But then I was like, I watched it again and I was like, it's a really good movie.
It's a really good movie. And it's a combination of American, you know, Hollywood and Bollywood. Mm-hmm. The editing was, they made choices.
Yeah. That's why he won Best Director. It's a very creative film.
Yeah.
Very different. He uses digital cinematography in a great way in this film that really helped pave the way for digital filmmaking. I mean, this film was made with maybe barely even more than HD quality. Mm. I don't even think it was 4K. But it's so great. And I do think it's a very good movie.
Yeah. Great story.
Yeah.
Like, I would never thought to do anything like that. So unique.
It's a very, like, touching film, too.
Very touching
film. It's a very tragic movie.
Oh, man, when the mom dies, I was like, oh, fuck. I mean, you kind of forget that he's an orphan.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, my gosh, the kid actors. They're so cute. Adorable. They're so cute. And he jumps in a pile of shit. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, my God, it's so gross. Just to see, like, the superstar actor.
Oh, man.
Oh, so gross.
It's so good. I love that movie.
It's got a great ending.
4.5.
It's got the ending's great. Even though it's like a cheesy, happy ending, it's like they deserve it. You know what I mean?
Jai Ho.
Jai Ho! Jai Ho!
Yeah. Now keep going.
That's all I remember. All right, next up, I watched Before Sunrise for the 20th time.
Love.
On the anniversary, 29th anniversary. Ah. 29 years. Nice. So on January 27th, it was released.
I had never seen anything like that. And I fell in love. I've never seen Ethan Hawke young before. Was it Sun? Yeah, before Sunrise.
You should watch Dead Poets Society. It was his first major breakout.
Oh, fuck. Was that him?
Yeah, Dead Poets Society.
I haven't seen that in so long. I didn't realize. I just lied. Sorry.
This was like a huge hit for him. I gave it 5 stars, obviously. And I wrote, obviously. I just took one a quote that really stuck with me on this watch. Being with you, it's made me feel like I'm somebody else. I love that line. There's so many great lines in that film. And it's just a special movie. There's really nothing like it. And there never will be anything like it. Especially this series of films.
Yeah.
They're so special. And they're so magical. And Richard Linklater with Delpy and Ethan Hawke writing and collaborating. It's just magic. It's just lightning in a bottle.
I don't want anyone to ever try to recreate this.
No, no way. No, because it can never work. No. It can never work.
Nope.
And I just adore it.
Yeah, and it because of the time that it was shot, too, I think I made this point. I don't know if I ever actually made this point. But a lot of movies work because of the era that it came out with, like, you know, the edit or the cameras that's used. Where I feel like nowadays, a lot of projects are shot and it looks too good for what it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And so if like this was filmed on an Ari, I don't think that it would have the same feeling.
I mean, part of the magic of actual shooting on real 35mm film, this movie's an example of how incredible it is and how much it adds to a movie when you actually shoot on real film.
Yes.
This tangible nature to it. And especially with this film where there's so much practical lighting and just natural lighting that they use and to their advantage. If it was made nowadays, if Linklater wasn't making it, or if like a studio bought the rights and made their own version, it would be too high quality, yes, too clean looking, and it would just, I can already picture how they would light it. And I'm like, the reason, one of the reasons why the movie works is like, yeah, no lighting.
It's the sun.
You don't light it. You just let them, just put them in the space, mm-hmm, and let them be in the space.
And they're just constantly moving, and the chemistry between Delpy and Hawk, it's, you can't recreate that.
No, no way. I saw this great interview with Hawk where he was talking about the train scene and their original ideas for to get her off the train, Delpy hated. She's like, I would never get off the train for that. She's like, no way, that wouldn't work. So they, Ethan Hawke and Linklater were like, what would work? And they were trying so many different versions. And she was like, no way I would get off the train for this guy if he said that. And then Ethan Hawke said, he always had in the back of his mind for like waiting for an opportunity to actually pick up a girl, to be like, I have this time machine line about like when you're old, you'll think back on, oh, going, that guy on the train 20 years ago. That was like one of the best moments of my life. So he tried that on her, and she's like, okay, I'd get off the train for that.
Wow.
So that's why it's in the movie.
Oh, Ethan.
We call him Handsome Hawk.
Handsome Hawk.
That was Jimmy Fallon had a great skit on his talk show years ago, and it was called The Handsome Man's Club. It was like a bunch of like Hollywood A-list actors who were just like famous for being hot, and Ethan Hawk was on the council, and Jimmy Fallon was the judge. And they all brought like their concerns or requests, and Ethan Hawke's request was, can I be called Handsome Hawk? And then Jimmy Fallon bangs his gavel and says, yes, you may be called Handsome Hawk. He's like, God. Yes, I'm Handsome Hawk.
I'm not saying he's not handsome, but he's not my type.
Ethan Hawke? No.
No.
Not even like this Ethan Hawke?
No.
What about a little older Ethan Hawke? No.
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 Ethan Hawke, period, just not my type. But I will say that Jimmy Fallon gives me evil vibes.
Okay, I was gonna say Jimmy Fallon was your type. I was like, what?
No, I actually hate Jimmy Fallon. No offense, sorry.
I'm sorry, it was Kimmel. Did I say Fallon?
You said Fallon.
I meant Kimmel. It was Kimmel.
Okay, Kimmel's fine. It's whatever. But
Fallon has I always liked Fallon on SNL, but he has like kind of like this fakeness to him as a talk show host. Like
evil vibes.
You know that like he's acting, lying through his smiles, you know?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's the that. It's like exactly what you said. Like is how I feel about
his reactions to things, like the fake. You can tell he's fake laughing.
Yeah,
and he's putting on an act. Which I mean, it's a talk show host. You are acting, but it wasn't like what Conan. It's just like Conan was just himself.
Yeah,
and that's how he always was, no matter what. You know what I mean?
Conan was charming, but
yeah,
Fallon gives me serial killer. Or he would watch a serial killer kill you, and he would not react. He would simply laugh and clap.
I agree.
Cannot have him on the show.
Yeah, he does have an off-putting nature about him. I agree. I've always felt that about Fallon.
He ruined Ben and Jerry's for me.
I gotta say, it's a good ice cream. The Fallon ice cream is a good one. That's a good one.
Whatever.
Colbert's is the waffle one. Fallon's is really, it might be my favorite actually of Ben and Jerry's. What was your next watch, Nat?
What did I watch? Oh, Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh my God, the worst movie ever made? Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
It's so bad that it's good. They don't make bad movies like that anymore.
I'm not sure it's so bad it's good. I think it's so bad it's bad.
But it's so laughable that it becomes good. You know what I mean? Like it is, it's so bad that it hurts.
That movie had a pretty decent budget, and yet the CGI looks that bad.
The CGI was criminal.
I think the producers just ran away with all the money, honestly.
That has to be the case.
Because it looks so bad.
There's no way to put any money into it.
Because the first one's pretty good. We loved it.
I actually did not watch the first one.
You don't have to.
I went straight to Annihilation.
You don't have to. Because they changed the cast a lot, too. There's only like two actors that reprised their roles for the second one. The first one's not bad, and we watched it a ton. But then the second one, even as kids, we were like, this is fucking awful.
Yeah, so awful. Good. There was like no plot, really. Because it lost me after like 10 minutes. And then...
Oh, Boba down.
Oh, no. Yeah. What did she say? Too bad you will die.
You will die.
Iconic. Mom?
I mean, there's really nothing to really pull from in terms of story off those early video games. Because it's just video games that are just fighting. But At least the first one is, it's fun because they introduce you to each of the main characters and it's fun to see where they're from, and they all have their own little scenes to showcase who they are. And then they all travel to the tournament in the Asian country. I can't remember which country it's in. And then the tournament happens. And so it's actually a pretty decent story that hook you in. But the second one, it just got ridiculous.
It was so bad. Yeah. I played a little drinking game where every time they flip, you take a shot. And if they do like three flips in a row, that's three shots.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character at least? Raiden? Johnny Cage? No one?
No one, man. I kind of like the mom though, because that was iconic.
Yeah.
What's her name?
I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't seen it in forever.
Just so bad.
So bad. They're actually, they just wrapped production on the new Mortal Kombat film. And Carl Urban is starring in it. People have high hopes for it. We'll see.
How was the other one though?
I didn't watch it, but I know people liked it.
Okay.
It was Max made. It came out on Max during lockdown.
Oh, terrible time.
Yeah. So I think it would have been a theatrical release if it wasn't for COVID.
Mm. Yeah, because I saw posters for it, but I never.
Yeah, I never watched it because I was just like, because they made another Mortal Kombat, and it was just like, after those, I was just like, Mortal Kombat movies should just not exist.
See, if it's as bad as the second one in terms of like, it's so funny because it's bad, yeah, then I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. But again, they don't make bad movies like they used to. It's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
It's just painful.
I remember I always loved Scorpion, the fighter. He doesn't really have much of a... The one drawback, he doesn't have much of a role.
He's like in the background,
he's
right?
Just like a...
He shows up. He's just there. Legs.
So he doesn't have any... They didn't give him enough screen time.
You know what?
Justice for Scorpion.
Justice for Scorpion. Comment down below. # justice for Scorpion.
To contrast Mortal Kombat Annihilation, I watched a Coen Brothers film.
Okay, nice.
To get a little quality back. I watched True Grit, starring the incomparable Jeff Bridges, Hailee Steinfeld in her debut role, in which she was in which she was nominated for an Oscar for supporting actress.
Oh, nice.
She's phenomenal. Matt Damon, Josh Brolin, Barry Pepper. So this is a remake of a John Wayne Western from the 60s, and Jeff Bridges plays a sheriff who's hired by Hailee Steinfeld's character to catch the killer of her father, played by Josh Brolin. And Matt Damon plays a Texas Ranger who's also on the case. It's really great. It's a beautiful cinematography, like always, from Roger Deakins. But in particular, like, this is one of his lesser known, like, masterworks of camera work and lighting. And people, I mean, this movie's just beautiful to look at. I will say it's on the weaker side of the Coen Brothers filmography. Granted, they've made a lot of really good films. So it's hard to even say this movie's not that great in comparison. But I will say it's probably mid-tier for them. However, it's still a great Western. It's a lot of fun. Excellent acting. And there's a reason why Hailee Steinfeld became such a big star. She has it. And even when she was, I think, 14 in this, she's acting opposite Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon, and she's holding her own easily.
Nice.
She's got a great great Southern accent, too.
Okay. Yeah, I only saw her in Pitch Perfect.
This is what made her... This is what blew her up.
Okay.
She's, like, one of the youngest Oscar nominees ever.
And then she kicked off her singing career after Pitch Perfect. So
okay.
It's hard for me to remember that she was an actor first.
Yeah, she's always been an actor first, yeah.
And she was in, was it Emily? In the Emily Dickens show?
Yeah, the TV series, yeah.
Apple
TV, yeah.
She actually, I didn't watch
she
it,
produces it,
it
too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she produces it.
What does that mean, though?
She oversees what it is.
Yeah.
Like the production, what the story is, the direction of it. So she's heavily involved in that. Good. She always, and it ended after, I think, 3 seasons, but.
Good for her.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to be able to be like a young woman in Hollywood and she's helping pull the strings of her career.
Mm-hmm. Where is she now?
Now she's Hawkeye.
Huh?
In the Avengers. She's the next Hawkeye. She had the Hawkeye TV show on Disney Plus with Jeremy Renner.
I don't watch superhero shows.
But I know they exist.
I guess. I'm not keeping up with Disney.
But there's a really great coming-of-age movie that I love her in
called
The Edge of 17.
Oh, okay. I have a hot take.
What?
I didn't love that movie.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's so charming.
I liked it, but I don't think I liked it as much as other people did. And I can't figure out why. And there's a lot of awkward, like...
I think that that's more common because I'm not sure it's a really well. Yeah, it's only 3.5.
I have a lot of friends who love that movie. But yeah, I mean, it felt kind of awkward, not in the sense of like, oh, well, she's a teenager, it's supposed to be awkward. No, it felt like the directing was a bit awkward where there was a lot of empty space where it felt like they didn't know what they were doing.
Well, yeah, it's not like expertly directed, but for like a childhood coming of age movie about a teenage girl, I was like, wow, I really relate to this. Yeah. Ironically. Oh,
yeah? You?
Yeah. I liked it a lot, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was good, but I didn't love it.
I love the scenes between her and Woody Harrelson. They're fucking great.
I forgot Woody Harrelson's in it.
Yeah, he plays the teacher who can't stand her.
I love that guy. He'll do fucking
anything. Yeah. All right, next up, what was your watch?
I watched True Detective Night Country.
How is it?
I'm only 3 episodes in because, you know, they're doing, you know, weekly releases or whatever. So fucking good. I love it.
I love Jodie Foster, man.
I love Jodie Foster.
One of my favorite actors.
It's cool seeing her older and with her like deep voice,
gravelly voice. Yeah,
yeah.
I saw a clip. I was like, "Damn, Jodie's getting old."
I love her voice, but the show is very interesting. It gives first season vibes. I didn't finish the first season, where it's like,
what?
I know. I was watching too many things at the same time, so I never like got back to it. But
you should watch. You should finish the first season after you finish this one.
Actually, I'll probably watch it now.
Oh yeah, you can finish it before the next episode comes out. Yeah,
it releases on the 4th, so I have time. But yeah, you think it's going to be supernatural, which I hope it is because I love supernatural. But yeah, great story. It's very, very eerie. It's set in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And before I even started watching this, I didn't know it was set in Alaska. And I was talking to my friend about how Alaskan crime rates are very high because they don't get sunlight for like 6 months.
Yeah.
So you go a little crazy, you know?
Or they get only sunlight for like 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's it's a wild place to live.
Mm-hmm. I would love to like live there for their winter.
I have a cousin who lives there.
What?
Yeah, he lives there. He's a doctor.
Where in Alaska?
I can't remember the town. It's a small town. Yeah, he's been living there for like 2 years.
How is he?
He loves it. He's a big nature person.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's the winters for him?
I haven't asked him.
You should ask him.
All right, I'll ask him.
See if there's any like strange things going on.
Well, Chris Nolan's film Insomnia is set in Alaska, but it's during the sunny season. And so what's great about that film is Al Pacino's character can't sleep. And what's making it worse is the fact that it doesn't get dark out.
Yeah.
And so he goes like a week without sleeping and it's driving him mad.
I want to experience that. After watching Midsommar.
I don't want to experience that.
At 3 a.m.
I don't want to experience delirium. There's nothing worse than that.
Oh my God. Delirium.
No way.
The same way I love like the idea of a cruise where you're stuck on a boat with a bunch of people in the middle of the ocean.
Cruises are terrible. I went on one as a kid, and after the first day, we were like, what do we do?
No, I love it.
There's nothing to do.
It's not because I love cruises. It's because I love the idea that you're just trapped with a bunch of people on a boat.
I mean, have you heard any of the horror stories of cruise ships?
Dude, I just learned about this story of these fishermen. And
what did they do?
There were 33 of them. Only 11 came back.
Oh my
and
God.
The boat was soaked in blood because they were murdering people. Because they all kind of went crazy and delusional. And yeah.
You want that?
No, I don't want to experience it, but I love the idea because it's so scary and horrifying.
I guess. I mean, delirium, sleep deprivation is a so very powerful real. Thing. It's actually, did you know that it's more dangerous to drive sleep deprived than it is to drive drunk?
I believe it.
It's actual fact. It's more dangerous to do that.
Yeah, because I believe that.
When you're sleep deprived, like you can't fucking operate like at all. You're like not even a person anymore.
No, I can't drive for more than an hour. And I had this commercial that I was working on, and it was like in Carlsbad, which is like not that far. It's like maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours or something, and they gave us a stipend to stay there if you wanted to, but it wasn't enough. And I didn't want to use my money on like a place to stay. So I drove back to LA, but anything more than 45 minutes, I'm like falling asleep. So I had to pull over to sleep a little bit to come back to LA from Carlsbad. It's so embarrassing.
But I can drive for hours.
I cannot do that.
I drove across the country.
Passenger princess.
After doing that, like any road trip's fine for me.
I had my friend drive me across the country and I slept.
Nice.
I drove maybe like 3 hours max.
You just slept the whole time.
That was terrible.
Oh my God, that's great. I also started a TV show called Masters of the Air on Apple TV. and it is fantastic. So this is about the true stories of an air division of American pilots during World War II, starring Austin Butler, Calum Turner, Barry Keoghan, and a bunch of other great young actors, and it's fantastic. This is produced and showrun by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. On Apple TV, they're also like Night Country doing one episode per week.
I love that.
Holy shit, it's so good. It was like, it's like if you combine Top Gun and Dunkirk together, you kind of get like what the tone of this movie, of the series is. It's so high quality. They had a $300 million budget.
Apple's doing things.
Cinematography is great. CGI and visual effects are, for a television show, some of the best I've ever seen. Wow. And I'm talking like putting it up against Game of Thrones CGI. Like the aerial sequences are insane. I just watched the first episode. That's all that's been released so far. But there were three amazing action sequences in the air. But then there's so much great character work and story. And by the end of the episode, I was like on board with all the guys. They did a great job of balancing all, especially the big actors, making you really love them and pull for them in a short amount of time. And it's just like a perfect kind of war story for whether it be a movie or TV series. They did a phenomenal job. And there's this incredible sequence where they think that they showcase really well how hard it was to navigate in cloudy weather. Mm. Like they couldn't even see in the clouds. And the gear was still so low tech back then in the 40s. It wasn't like they had an incredible radar. They had to they had to use mainly sights and navigating with maps, with pen and paper to really navigate.
A physical map.
Yeah, their navigator was using using maps so in the cockpits. Lost.
Yeah.
And there's a point where they their objective is to reach England, and they accidentally reach the shores of France. Germany occupied France.
Oh fuck.
And it's like the crazy air raid rains down upon them. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
It was so well. It's really big in spectacle and scope, and they pulled it off. I'm hooked, and I'm going to be watching every episode for the next 2 months. I love it. I couldn't recommend it enough.
Okay, I'll do a free trial.
Yeah. They actually give the first episode for free.
Oh, nice.
If you don't have a paid subscription.
Since we're talking about it, I want to put it out there, Austin Butler, that I was the girl at REI in Burbank that you made eye contact with and you smiled at. It's me, Natalie. Hit my line. You know where to find me.
Did I tell you I used to serve him and Vanessa Hudgens at my old restaurant?
No way.
I never told you this?
No.
So the restaurant I worked in when we moved to LA, I worked there for 4 years. They were regulars.
Wow.
I served them maybe 15 times, maybe more.
Did they remember you?
Oh yeah, they loved me. They were super nice.
Are they listening to your podcast?
I highly doubt it. I think they're both pretty busy right now.
Austin. It was me at REI in Burbank.
But they were they always order the same food.
What do they get?
Mushroom ravioli.
Oh, I do love ravioli.
Scallops.
Ugh, he knows me
over
so
a bed
well.
Of lentils. With like bed a, of with lentils? A creamy mascarpone sauce. I think they got the crispy fried cauliflower.
I love cauliflower.
She would order the bitch's brew, which is like a strawberry vodka lemon drink.
She would.
I can't remember what he would order for a drink, but they always got the same things every time. Wow. Like when they walked in and sat down, I would just like ring in their food and bring them their drinks because they were that easy. It was that.
Wow.
Like they never changed it.
And they tipped you?
Oh yeah, they tipped me. They tipped like $40 every time.
Wow.
And they were super nice. Like every time you dropped something off, they were very like, oh, thank you so much. Very appreciative people.
Wow.
They were always a pleasure to serve.
Awesome. Butler and I have a lot in common because we both love cauliflower and ravioli.
You would love him in this show. You would love him.
Yeah, but yeah, anyway, so I ran into him at REI. Well, first I didn't know. I
ran into him like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he's
him.
Like.
I ran
no,
into my
I was
boy,
at
my boy.
REI, because I was getting hiking shoes, and he too was looking for hiking shoes.
Wow, you guys have so
me.
Much in common.
I know. And then I heard him talk to like one of the people who were, you know, helping us out. I didn't know it was him because he had a hat on. And he's like, and I'm like, what the fuck talking right now? Because his voice was so deep. It was like his Elvis era.
Elvis era, yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is the old man doing here? And then I realized it's not an old man. And then we're both standing at the, like in front of these shoes.
So you're standing
us
next
two.
To him?
Yes. Like, no, across from him.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe 3 feet
gotcha,
away because
gotcha,
the person
gotcha.
Was in between us helping us. Mm-hmm. And I realize who he is. And I look at him. I'm looking disheveled as fuck. And he looks at me and he smiled. And I knew he was in love with me. But I don't want to be weird. Right now he's resting.
Oh my God.
I hope he's listening.
From what I could tell, and he hadn't like blown up when I would serve him. Yeah. This is when he had like
iCarly.
Was he on iCarly?
Yeah, he was a really bad singer on iCarly, and now he's all this.
The irony. But he had a TV show, like a fantasy TV show.
Oh, I watched it, I think.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
It was, oh my God, what was it called?
You know what I'm talking about. Yes. I've never seen it, but I knew that's what he was in. Mm-hmm. So I just knew he was just like a model actor.
Yeah.
But it was really Vanessa who was the huge star out of the couple.
And now she's making Christmas movies. And in those Christmas movies.
She's making
movies,
that Hallmark money.
There are, oh God, in the universe, in her cinematic universe of her Christmas movies, there are four Vanessa Hudgens running around. There's the baker, her doppelganger royal twin, the royal twin's cousin who's a triplet, and then there's the one that's a teacher in Ohio, and they're all in the same cinematic universe. There are four of her.
She's making that money. It's $1 million for 2 weeks of work.
Oh my God.
Do you know how fast those movies shoot? My friend directs some. They'll shoot a whole movie in 2 weeks.
Wow. I was a body double in one of them.
Oh really?
What was it called? Holiday something. It had like, I think Abby Lee Miller. Oh my, first of all.
Abby Lee Miller?
Abby Lee Miller.
The British actress?
No, girl. That's the lady who did Dance Moms or something. No, what know. Was it called? side quest. I threw Abby Lee Miller's piss away for free. I was PAing for somebody.
The life of a PA.
And she peed into a bottle and had me throw it away. And I did not get paid. And I drove like 40 minutes. I was helping her film TikToks. Anyway, so she's in this movie.
Oh, because you were in a car? Is that why she peed in a bottle?
No. We were at a dance studio. Her dance studio in Santa Monica.
No restroom?
She's in a wheelchair.
See, I don't know who you're talking about. I have no idea.
After this was
canceled. Yeah, I'm canceled.
I did not have to throw that away, though. She just handed it to me. And I'm like, this is a hot bottle of piss. Anyway, so she's in this Christmas movie, and then separately I was asked to come on to like fill in for like background shit, and then I became a body double for one of the actresses because she had to go and do some event. So yeah, it was very quick. They filmed like three different scenes.
Yeah, I've never heard of this person, so I don't know who Abby Lee Miller is, but it sounds like sounds like quite the job.
Yeah, and now she has her own spinoff show with the production company that I did free work for her, that I threw her piss away, so I will never see that money.
You have a very personal connection to her.
Yeah. Anyway. Right.
Anyways, I watched all-time comedy Airplane from 1980. I hadn't seen this since I was like a kid, since I was like a teenager. Airplane really is just like one of the funniest movies ever made, and I was glad that I hadn't seen it so long because I couldn't remember much about it at all. And it really is just like top tier slapstick spoof movies of all time. Mm. It's so funny. I gave it 4.5 stars. And I quoted my favorite quote. Hey, Joey, do you like movies with gladiators? It's just ridiculous. Unbelievable. It's
like gladiators?
So one of the scenes.
What is it about?
So it's about just like hijinks on a plane that's about to crash. And it's just like a combination of spoofs of different kinds of movies from Hollywood in the 60s and 70s. And this is like basically the scary movie of its day.
Mm.
This basically started the spoof movie
idea. Okay.
It was like the first one, really like big one. And it's so funny. It makes fun of like the war hero flashbacks. Like, oh my, there's so many gags and so many jokes and just great, great performances. And I cackled so many times watching this movie. But my favorite quote was that, so, you know, like the cliche, like when a little kid's on a plane, like the stewardess will bring him to the cockpits, the head of the pilots. And
they do that?
They used to.
Oh.
Back when.
I'm like, what the hell? Where
they,
is
they
the
used
cockpit?
To do that. Like, it was just like a cute thing to bring kids to meet the pilots. Because like back then, pilots were cool. Now they're just like a bus driver. You know?
They're literally just overseeing AI.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there was a romanticization about pilots back in the day. So it was like tradition to like bring a little kid to meet the pilots and like, oh my God, we're in the cockpit. So they do that. But one of the pilots is like clearly like a pedophile. And he's just like, so Joey, do you like hanging around gymnasiums?
Oh my God.
He goes, hey Joey, have you ever been to a Turkish prison? And the stewardess is like, okay, let's bring him back. And he's like, no, Joey can stay here. Right, honey?
Oh my God.
It's so funny. And then there's like an inflatable co-pilot. It's just a blow-up doll in the shape of a pilot. And then he's able to steer the plane whenever it's in trouble. It's so absurd, but it all works. And it's just an all-time comedy, in my opinion. It's just unbelievable. It's
I'll
so good.
It.
You would love it.
I need some comedy.
It's really funny.
Speaking of comedy, I watched Blazing Saddles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks.
Very, very funny. And in the end, when they like break the fourth wall, kind of, and they like... I had a sneeze.
I thought you were having a stroke.
Yeah, not yet. And they were running around to like different studios, whatever. So funny. That's an insane movie.
Great cast, too.
Never seen anything like that. Just batshit.
It's a great, great comedy. Mel Brooks is an all-time comedic filmmaker.
I love the... Was she French or German or something? The actress or the singer...
I think German. I'm not sure.
Her accent is so funny.
Couldn't tell you. What'd you give it for rating?
I don't think I rated it, but I would give it 3.5 stars.
Blazing.
Which is good.
What is it ranked? Blazing Saddles is... Why isn't it on Letterboxd? Oh, I'm spelling Blazing Saddles. I'm a fucking idiot. 3.8. Yeah, Mel Brooks wrote and directed this. He made this after The Producers, which he won. Oh, I think he made it before The Producers, which he won an Oscar for.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people today would appreciate it.
No way, no way.
But
I mean, a lot of like comedy like that, especially when you're using those archetypes of characters.
Yeah, and language.
Yeah, it's just not going to age, but correct. In the context of the time, it's it's really funny. If you can just get over that. And not be like it's a comedy made 50 years ago. 50 years ago.
It's not going to hold up for sure. But I feel like not many things can hold up if it was done even 8 years ago.
I mean, yeah, comedy has, I think, like such a short lifespan.
Yeah.
What can be funny.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest genre to continue.
I agree.
Because it evolves in... What's appropriate 5 years ago is not appropriate now.
I will say, though, White Chicks will...
White Chicks is great.
I fucking love White Chicks.
Oh, my God, White Chicks.
I'm going to a party this weekend.
Are you dressing up as them?
Well, it's the Wayne's brother's cousin. He's throwing the party.
Is it Wayne Wayne's?
Wayne Wayne's? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Lil Wayne Wayne's. And
they probably have 20 cousins. That family's so big.
Yeah, so I'm like, should I show up in the pink swan dress?
Do it. We'll see. What was the name of the one he was in New Girl?
Michael? Wait, what?
One of the Wayne's kids was in New Girl. He used to go to my gym. I used to see him at my gym.
Wait, what? He's a Wayne?
Yeah. He's a Wayne. He's Damon Wayne's son.
I need to see this whole like family tree. I'm so confused.
I'm telling you, there's so many Waynes.
Oh my God.
It's like one of the biggest Hollywood families. Lil Wayne is...
No, that's a real question.
No, he's not involved in that family at all. He's his own Wayne.
Okay,
He's a separate Wayne altogether.
All right.
That's so Lil Wayne.
I just had to
Also different spelling.
Is it?
Yeah, they're spelled W-A-Y-A-N. He's W-A-Y-N-E. Completely different names.
I can't spell. Okay.
I can't read good. I can't read good. All right, I have one more movie. And it was one of my favorite watches all week. Roman Holiday. Audrey Hepburn's breakout film from 1953. I gave it 5 stars. And nice. I wrote, a perfect romance film. Audrey Hepburn was the most delightful actress ever. She had been in a few small roles before this, but this was her first major role as an actress. And it's catapulted her into global superstardom. And it's just one of the best romantic films ever made. It's very funny. She is, Audrey Hepburn was just so charming and so funny and sophisticated and classy and confident, and just like the camera loved her. Just great, great mannerisms and emotion. Mm-hmm. Like her eyes, the way her eyebrows.
I think you're in love.
Yeah, I am in love with Audrey Hepburn. The world was for many years.
Yeah.
But this is just sensational film. It's set in Italy, so obviously I love it. It's just a great film. If you haven't seen it, it's about she's an English princess who's on a political tour, engagement tour, public tour all over Europe. And she's in Rome. She hates her duties. She's getting sick of like going to all these fancy snobby parties, meeting all these politicians, and all doing all of these assigned public events. And she just wants to like do normal things. She just wants to be a normal girl.
She just wants to be a normal girl, but she has to be a princess. Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. And so she runs away and explores Rome on her own. And she meets a journalist who knows who she is. And they both lie to each other. He lies that he's not a journalist, trying to get a scoop on her story. And then she lies that she's not a princess. And so they spend 24 hours in Rome falling in love. But then they both have to reveal their truths, and it's a really great ending. I'm not going to spoil what happens, even though I just said a lot of it. But
yeah,
I didn't give you the ending though. But it's so good. It's
is
so 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 good.
Is she going to run away with him?
You got to watch the movie.
That's how it's
spoilers.
Gonna end. I know it.
Got to watch the movie. I will say, it's a perfect ending.
Okay.
I will say that.
Or maybe she chooses to live her life, and then
maybe, maybe not. You'll have to find out.
All right, fine. I'll find out.
She becomes a car mechanic.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
I was hoping.
It was her dream, her lifelong dream.
She had to check out the Italian cars.
She started working in the Ferrari workshop.
Thank God. Oh, yeah, the Audrey model.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was her.
That was her. All right, you have any watches left?
I'm going to combine my three shorts that I watched.
What were they?
The Other Side of the Box. Loved that short. It's a horror short.
Mm.
This friend like drops off this quote gift box at his friend's house and leaves a note like, oh, I'm so sorry about this, just don't look away. And every time, so they open the box, there's like nothing in there, it's like a black hole. But every time they look away from the box and look back, a head slowly like creeps out.
Oh, cool.
And it's really, really creepy.
It's like the Doctor Who episode.
Sure.
There's a Doctor Who episode about, what's it fucking called? I can't remember, but it's about these angel statues, like in cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up being a monster, like a Doctor Who's all about like aliens, monsters, and whatever,
yeah.
Science fiction and horror. And whenever you turn away from one of these statues, they get closer to you to kill you.
Yeah, same vibe.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I was actually scared. The Wait. It's like a 1 minute short.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, very cute. And Don't Look Away.
Is it like the same thing as the first one?
It's not. I think it
sounds like a perfect title for it.
I don't know which came first, and I don't want to say anyone's like, you know, copying from anyone else. But
what's this one about?
This girl is looking out the window and she sees some like a figure, like a man or something with a bag or a bag over his head. And she's on the phone with her dad being like, oh, when are you going to be home? There's this weird guy in the yard. Her dad's like, do not look away from it. Keep your eyes on it. And she's like, what? Okay. And her brother comes and he stares at it. And then anyway, so yeah.
So like they take turns staring at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Not to be mean. We're here to just be observant.
Be mean. It's okay.
It wasn't good.
Not all movies are good.
Yeah, no. It had a good idea, but the execution, I think, fell a little short. And the acting wasn't fantastic either. But I appreciate that it was made because we love to create art.
All right, Weeping Angels is the episode of Doctor Who I'm thinking of.
Mm.
Carey Mulligan starred in the episode.
I'll watch it.
It's like, for that show, it's really kind of like in its own thing. It's kind of a standalone episode where the Doctor isn't even at all involved.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's just basically Carey Mulligan is an hour-long episode. And it's amazing. villain, the Weeping Angels.
Okay, I'll watch it.
It's great. It's very scary.
I love scary. And I miss Supernatural when it was scary and not just like this ginormous plot line, you know?
Yeah, I feel the same. Mm-hmm. I feel the same. But I think you might like the Weeping Angel episode of Doctor Who.
All right.
For a non-Doctor Who watcher, it's perfect.
Okay, perfect.
Because he's just in it for like 30 seconds.
That'll be up next.
And it was her big breakout.
Really?
Yeah, Doctor Who episode. And then she got an education. Sorry. Not that she got educated, but she got the role. She got the lead role in Education in 2008, which she got nominated for. And that... the wording of that.
Canceled.
You should watch an Education. She's great.
Okay.
With Peter Skarsgård. She plays a high school student who drops out and forgoes college because she falls in love with an older man, Peter Skarsgård, and is like, I'm not going to go to school. I'm not going to have a career. I'm just going to be this man's wife. And then he breaks up with her.
Oh.
So then she's
Let
like,
be
fuck.
A lesson, ladies. Make your own money.
Great
have
movie.
Have your own bank account.
Great, great, great movie. But it's not so much that theme, but the theme of do not, nobody should ever rely entirely on another person.
Period.
You really have to make your own life, even if you're in a partnership.
Exactly. I will never have a shared bank account unless it's like solely for bills.
Yeah.
Like shared bills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in combining money like that.
Me either.
Yeah. Because we're independent people.
Yeah, we're independent.
Yeah.
Boss people.
We're bosses.
Bosses. Okay, that's it for Letterboxd Recap. Thanks to everybody for listening. Be sure to link your Patreon to Spotify if you want to listen to this ad-free as a Patreon member of the $5 tier. Join our Patreon. We appreciate all the support from everybody, as well as... James is so much better at this stuff. Oh, subscribe.
I got you. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share with your friends and family.
Oh, yeah.
Rate it 5 stars.
Yes.
Listen to it over and over and over again, even if you're not actually
just
listening.
Just put it on a loop.
So
loop it.
Exactly.
See, I'm so bad at plugging. That's a way better plug than mine.
You just got to command.
And then we have great episodes. We have Anime Week next week. Anime Week will be episodes on Attack on Titan and Avatar: Last Airbender.
Love Avatar.
Gonna be great. All right, see you next time.
Bye-bye.